What up, fishes? I'm Mark Walsh, director of Party Source Rex, and you're listening to the Pixar Podcast.
To infinity and beyond!
So, how long is this going to take?
Squirrel!
You can't rush Arch.
I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
What's the point of going out there? They'll only laugh at me.
A stranger from the outside.
Greetings.
Hello there, Pixar fans. Welcome again to another episode of the Pixar Podcast. This is episode number 118. ThePixarPodcast.com/118 is where you can find the show notes for this episode. I'm Derek Clements. Well, before we get to today's episode, let me remind you that I am collecting personality islands and core memories. So just visit ThePixarPodcast.com/blog for details. It's going to go on an upcoming episode that I'm really excited about. I want to know what islands of personality make up your identity. So visit ThePixarPodcast.com/blog and tell me, have they evolved over time? Have they changed? Have they fallen and been built again? What are your personality islands? I cannot wait to hear. Well, in Inside Out, there are lots of moments that are memorable. But this one moment of the film will probably never leave your memory, or for that matter, Riley's memory. It's this.
Triple then gum
will make you smile.
Triple then gum,
it lasts a while.
Triple then gum
will help your mister to punch that breath right in the kisser. Triple then gum!
That's right, and today we're going to dive behind the scenes of that song. We're going to speak with one of the voices featured in that jingle, singer and Pixar artist, Nick Patera.
Nah, nah, honey, I'm good. I could have another better provolation. I got somebody at home.
It's been a long night here, a long night there. And there's long, long legs, a damn near everywhere.
Hold up now.
You look good, I will not lie. But if you ask where I'm staying tonight, I'd be like, oh, baby, no, baby. You got me all wrong, baby. My baby's already got.
So you may know Nick's music from YouTube. He's been on Ellen. In fact, you may be a huge fan of Nick's without even realizing that he works at Pixar. His fans for his music are exuberant. There are fan-made Tumblr accounts. There's DeviantArt wallpaper. One person even made an embroidery of some of his lyrics, and I saw that on Twitter. So lots of people love Nick Patera. He also works at Pixar. So with Inside Out being Nick's very first vocal role in a film, it just seemed like a great time to get him on the podcast. So I spoke with him this week about his career in music and animation and what it was like to be on Inside Out. I really liked what he had to say about finding your own path in your career and being creative. He had some great insight that I think you'll like to hear. So this that you're hearing right now is Nick Patera singing. All of those voices are Nick Patera singing. This is a recent a cappella cover, Honey, I'm Good. So now I will play for you my interview with singer and Pixar artist Nick Patera. Well, Nick Patera, thank you so much for joining the Pixar Podcast.
Oh, of course. No, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
I've been a follower of yours and a fan of yours for many years, so this is really exciting for me to talk to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, congratulations on your first movie role, your first voice role in Inside
Out.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm super excited. It's something that I've wanted since I was very, very young, and of all films for it to happen on, I'm really excited that it's with Inside Out. It's a tiny little cameo, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, it was fun. The week the film came out, you kind of put out a call on your Facebook page. Or your Twitter and saying like, oh, guess which role I am in the film. And so when I saw it again, I was like, oh, I wonder who it is. I was looking for you. And then when the imaginary boyfriend or the imagination boyfriend showed up, I was like, oh, that's got to be him. It's like, he kind of looks like him.
Yeah, that was a very, very popular guess. I think most people assumed that was it.
Yes.
Which is funny because I had thought about, I hadn't even thought about the idea that people might not realize that it was the singing.
Right.
And so, yeah, that was, it was funny to see that. And then, kind of hard to like sit on it and be like, I can't correct them yet.
Yes.
We'll wait a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, your role for the, in the Triple Dent Gum commercial is awesome. So who's singing with you?
Her name's Andrea Datsman. She actually wrote the jingle.
Okay. Yeah.
She comes from the music side of things. So she was involved with the soundtrack and, she wrote the music for the jingle and then she's the female singer.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So just tell us about that whole experience of how did you get involved, with that part in the film? How'd that come about?
So I have, as far as the jingle is concerned, I was kind of, I was the temporary voice of the jingle for a while,
okay.
As it sort of changed over the last couple of years. And then, once it got closer to the film sort of wrapping up and finishing, they, made the official decision to keep me on as the voice. And that was very exciting because I was not necessarily expecting to get to stay. Because when I had initially done it, it was just kind of as a, sort of a temp demo singer. So, yeah, it was a very exciting phone call to get that they had decided to keep me and chosen me. So, yeah.
So who was it that made that phone call? Was it the director or producer?
Jonas gave me a phone call. A producer of the film called me up and was like, hey, I've got some good news for you. Yeah, that was a very fun and unexpected phone call and made for a very happy day.
That's awesome. Well, had you been working on Inside Out up to this point already in other capacities?
You know, actually, I was not on Inside Out from a visual, from a Pixar standpoint.
Right.
So my only involvement was just the singing.
Yeah. Okay. I'd love you to just talk about the movie. What was it like to be, you know, you've mentioned how being in this particular movie was a special thing. It certainly is a remarkable film. I just love you to talk about why it was special to work on that film.
Well, I mean, as everyone has sort of been, you know, responding very positively to it, it's a really beautiful film, both visually and just the story that they're telling. And personally, I'm from Minnesota and moved to San Francisco. And
yeah.
So there's a little part of that I connected with.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just think it's such a really, really special film and something very unique that only, you know, a story that only Pixar would try to tackle.
Yeah.
And so getting to kind of have this be something that was sort of my first voice role was really exciting. And also the first movie I ever worked on, from a set standpoint was Up. That was my first movie out of school.
Okay.
And then, so to have Pete and Jonas's next film be the first movie that I get to do anything vocally on was kind of a nice sort of bookended thing that felt really cool and special.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, so you mentioned your first film at Pixar that you worked on was Up. What have you done
yes.
at Pixar? What has been your kind of role?
I've done a couple things. Primarily working in the sets department. So I'm a 3D modeler, like sculpting props and sets for the films.
Okay.
And then I also have worked in our international department. We translate and redo the artwork for anything that has text if you go see it in another country.
Ah.
So if you go to France or Japan, and anything in the film is redesigned to make it look like it was made for that country. So instead of having a subtitle for, you know, the Monsters University gate, that gate was actually remodeled in Japanese. And so we kind of go through a whole other like production little pipeline to internationalize the films.
Oh, that's so interesting. I guess I never really stopped to think about they have to translate that. So
yeah, you know, it's really cool that they go the extra effort here specifically to really cater towards the international markets to make it feel more immersed.
Well, and so, cause in a 3D, in a computer animated film, they're all, as you say, models kind of in this virtual space. How much of the original version of the film in a particular scene can they use? Can they use, like, it's the same animation, they just have to swap out a model here or something here and there?
Yeah. All the animation stays the same. Everything, it's just the graphics. So if there are, like, signage is mainly what it is.
Yeah.
And if it's a plot point, they'll make sure to take it, redesign it so it's the exact same aesthetic and visual style of the English text.
Yeah.
And then just the graphic design is redesigned. And then sometimes it's just a texture that's swapped. And sometimes if it's something like the Monsters University gate or most of the logos in the films, like the Brave logo,
yeah,
you know, that's made out of stone. So that's remodeled to say, you know, the title of the film in another language.
Interesting. Okay. And so which films have you worked on so far from that standpoint?
I've worked on Up, Toy Story 3, Cars 2, Brave, Monsters University, and then the vocal thing on Inside Out.
Very cool. Awesome. And then I guess probably upcoming things as well.
Yes.
Very secret. Okay. Well, okay. Let's talk now about your music career.
Yes.
You are definitely the most respected and renowned musician I've ever spoken with. You have hundreds of millions of views, 140 million views on your YouTube channel, which is remarkable. But I was also, as I was looking at your page, I was noticing something else, which is you started on in April 2006 is when you started your YouTube channel. So I would just love you to take us to that time. Take us to April 2006. What were you doing in your life, and what were you thinking about?
Well, at that point, I was in school, and definitely whenever I created the channel in 2006, I was not posting anything at that point. Mainly just at the channel.
Yeah.
YouTube was a super new thing. I think at that point, that might have been the first or second year that YouTube even existed at all.
Right.
So I was in school, going to school for animation. And then I started actually posting. I think it was in 2007 is when I first really put out a video. And it was for a contest. There was, I think the Little Mermaid was about to open on Broadway. And so they had a promotion going where, like, you know, sing a song, upload it to YouTube, and you submit that as your sort of your contest entry.
Hi, my name is Nick Patera, and this is my entry for the Give Us Your Voice contest. I'll be singing Part of Your World.
And so that was the only reason I put anything up.
Yeah.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the one who has everything? And look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around, do you think?
And so I did that, and that kind of got some traction. Nothing crazy viral, essentially right off the bat, but more views than I expected. I didn't think anyone would watch it. And then right on the heels of that, as that kind of started to get a bit of exposure, I put up another video of me singing A Whole New World, and that was sort of doing both vocal parts.
Fantastic point of view, and no one to tell us no, nowhere to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world, and now I'm in a whole new.
And then that kind of went viral and all over the place before I really understood what a viral video was, because they were still so new.
Right.
And then, things just kind of snowballed from there. And I kind of like slowly figured out how that all works and kind of rolled with it and sort of used that as my platform for promoting music and for, growing an audience and kind of pursuing that side of or that secondary career.
Wow. Okay. So did you always see the music as a secondary career? Was animation always your main goal, or how did that work?
Those were the two things I kind of set out as wanting to do when I was young, was being a singer and working, in animation, specifically at a Disney studio. Animation had a degree to pursue, so I went that direction because there was I could go to college, which was very important to me, and get a degree and potentially get a job.
Yeah.
I had sort of counted music out as being an option until YouTube, and then I suddenly realized that I had at least the potential or the opportunity to kind of do something with it. So I kind of just started going in that direction as well. And I'm too in love with both things to give either one up. So my goal is kind of to, see what things I can do coexisting together.
Yeah.
So I'm very actively pursuing all my music stuff, and I do that very regularly, and I'm still, reaching for the stars with that stuff, but I'm doing it in conjunction with working in animation, and I kind of want to keep it that way.
Cool. It's awesome that you have these two, kind of different, but both very creative passions, and you follow them both.
Keeps me mentally balanced.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking in terms of Inside Out, I was thinking about personality islands, and I was wondering, what would you say your personality islands are? Are there others in addition to music and animation?
Those are probably the two biggest ones and the ones that take up pretty much all of my time.
Yeah.
So I would say those are the predominant ones, you know, along with all the, you know, the regular stuff, friendship and family and all the ones that, you know, you see in the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are probably the biggest, the most active islands in my head.
Very good. Very good. Well, okay. So you were on Ellen. And I would love for you. This is awesome to me. So you were originally, you were first on it. Was it 2009 or so?
I think the very end of 2009.
And I want to do some exploring right now. I want to find some hidden audience talents. So I'm going to go into my audience. Where's Nick Patera? Nick.
And you were already employed by Pixar at the time, and you were just an audience sort of person in, right? How did that work? Okay, quote unquote. Okay, how did that work? Tell us that story.
And they contacted me to be part of that.
Oh, very cool. They planted you. You were a plant.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, technically, I was in the audience. I did watch the show. But it was not necessarily a surprise.
Okay, they saw the Whole New World video.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and that kind of led to that, and they're like, yeah, can, you know, come on, and we do this segment, which is sort of the audience segment, and so I went and did that, which was awesome. I'd never been on, you know, national TV before, so it was terrifying, but really, really cool.
Where do you live? What do you do?
I live in Oakland.
Oakland?
And I'm a 3D modeler and lighter at an animation studio, and I sing on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Really? So are you going to sing for us?
I am. I'm going to sing a duet called The Whole New World from Disney's Aladdin.
Do I have a part in this at all? Because you said duet.
I'm going to try and do it by myself.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Everyone there was amazing, and she's super nice. So it was a very, very fun experience.
Yeah. And then they invited you back on. You were on again the next year.
Yeah. And then I went back as sort of a normal guest, which was really, really fun because I sort of got to actually have, you know, sit in the chair and have a little really quick interview and then sing again, which was really fun.
And listeners, there'll be a link in the show notes. On this video, you can see both two versions of you spliced on the set, which is cool.
Yeah, we pre-recorded before filming one of them, and then live with the audience, I sang the other part, and they kind of split it together, which is really fun.
Well, have you ever run into Ellen as she's been recording stuff for Dory?
No, I haven't seen her since the show, unfortunately. Would love to see her at some point, but I haven't seen her since then.
Very cool. Well, I want to talk to you. So you've combined music and animation so well. Another thing that I found on your YouTube channel is your student film, and that.
Oh, geez.
Well, no, I want. I mean, it's very old at this point, but I want to congratulate you on it because, you know, I've seen a lot of student films, and a lot of them are very obviously student films. This one, to me, I could see, you know, in a theater. I could see playing. It has a really strong kind of story, and it's kind of about. Could you talk about the story of that film? What is it like? What happens in the film? And I want to ask you about it.
Yeah. Yeah, first of all, you're way too nice to me. It's hard for me to watch that now. But
oh, sorry.
It's the little sort of, if you can call it a plot, is it's sort of this singer going door to door trying to you know, get discovered or make it big, and he's sort of conforming to a bunch of different genres, seeing like which one I'll take him. And then after being rejected by all of them, just kind of deciding, whatever, I'll just kind of do my own thing. And, you know, perform or sing for himself. And that is sort of, you know, the more important thing.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, turns into a big sort of flashy musical number, sort of realizing, you know, I'll just do it on my own instead of trying to conform into these little boxes. Which is kind of what I was doing at that point.
Yeah. Well, it totally seemed like that's what you've done in your music career.
Yeah, that was started way before YouTube stuff. So it was kind of that. It felt like this very strange self-fulfilling prophecy, because right as I was finishing that student film is when YouTube kind of happened. And that was just once again, like, you know, couldn't really pursue it the traditional way. And then, you know, you kind of do your own thing and just put it out there. And I got very lucky.
Yeah. Well, and you also have a very unique style of kind of singing in a very, very wide range of voices. Talk about that. First of all, like, how are you doing that? Is it falsetto, or I don't really know how that. What are you actually doing?
I think technically, I mean, there are lots of theories, but I think it is just a developed falsetto.
Yeah.
Not
because you got some air behind it. You got some pipes in there. It's not just.
I tend to like shy away from using the word falsetto because even though technically it is, there is a very specific sound that I associate with falsetto, which is nothing negative, but it's not exactly that.
Yeah.
But because of what I end up singing can sometimes sound more like a belt, even though it's not technically.
Exactly. But, that's what kind of trips me up. I'm like, what is he even doing? It's like magic.
A lot of people think it's just helium, but it's not.
I never even – this is a scandal now. You've just opened yourself up for scandal.
People either think it's helium or they think someone else is singing and I'm just lip-syncing to
them. Yeah.
It's me.
So have you gotten pushback for kind of being a unique singer in the way that you've done it?
Sorry, pushback in what sense?
I don't know. Like, you shouldn't sing like a girl. You should just sing deep.
I mean, only from internet comments, but I don't really care about that. Yeah. I mean, not really. I sort of like that I have something different to bring to the table.
Yeah.
Because, there are a million really good singers, and so I'm just trying to do my own thing in some capacity.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me at all. I'm also so used to it, I forget that it's abnormal. Because I'm sort of used, I've been singing that way since I was young. And so every once in a while I'll catch myself and I'm like, oh yeah, that's not, that might shock some people. Good or bad.
Sing like a boy.
Oh. The name is Nick, it's so nice to know ya. Just a kid from South Minnesota. Trying to keep my feet off the ground in a head. In the clouds. Oh. Yes, it's true, I act differently. This apple fell far from the home tree. But I survived the fall. They're always asking me why do I gotta sing.
Okay, you always have a heart on you, on your costume and in your videos. How did that develop?
That was originally just a visual thing I had done in a video. And I really liked it.
Yeah.
I kind of just kept going. And then it just kind of turned into this sort of visual signature that I have on in all the time. I wish I had like a better story behind it, because that is a question I get asked a lot. Like, what's the meaning behind it?
Yeah.
I unfortunately don't have a good answer. I need to make one up.
Well, there's a lot of heart.
Yeah. It's something that happened in a video. It kind of became my thing.
Yeah. So you just posted like a new cover, See You Again.
Yes.
You posted that like yesterday. Which is great timing.
Yep.
How do you go about choosing what songs you're going to cover? Most of your songs tend to be covers. How do you choose those?
It depends. Sometimes I will hear a song and I'll be like, oh, I really like that. I would love to do a take on it. Sometimes people are requesting them, and so I kind of pay attention to what people are asking me to sing. It can just kind of be. A lot of times it's quasi-random. It's always something that I want to sing. Sometimes I will – every once in a while I'll try to cater towards maybe something that's a little bit more recent and relevant at the moment.
Uh-huh.
And then other times I'll kind of try to throw it back to, theatrical stuff or Disney stuff. Just a little hodgepodge of everything.
What are some of your favorite singers or inspiration for you?
Well, let's see. I feel like they're all going to be super generic or obvious inspirations that every singer would say, Michael Jackson, Mariah Carey, at least for the higher stuff. I spent a lot of like my childhood butchering her songs or trying to learn how to sing.
Well, and Michael Jackson kind of sings pretty high too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why I was like, oh, that's great. He sings high too.
Yeah.
Justin Timberlake, there are a whole bunch more, but yeah, I would say those are probably some of the bigger ones.
Very good. Was Disney an influence on Disney music? Did you like that growing up?
Yeah, that's actually how I learned to sing. I learned how to sing by wearing out the songs on like my Little Mermaid tape and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin. Those are probably my three biggest inspirations for anything, for going into animation as well as learning how to sing.
What do you think about? Yeah, what do you think about animated musicals as a genre?
It's probably one of my favorite things in the world. So I was glad with that, with Frozen, that seemed to make a resurgence back, which is really great. Cause that sort of, to me, when I see little kids reacting to Frozen, that was my generation with Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and Little Mermaid. And so it's kind of cool because that type of a thing hasn't happened since the early 90s.
Totally.
So that was kind of really fun. A fun thing. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I remember watching the Waking Sleeping Beauty documentary. It's kind of about Disney animation. Yeah, have you seen that? It was really fascinating to me when Howard Ashman, right? The lyricist started talking about what a Broadway musical is, what a musical should be. And it's not just a movie with songs in it. It you know, it's where there are songs that are play an important role in the development of the story and how the story is told. I don't know. I love the genre too. I was happy when Frozen kind of did it well, because a lot of animated movies just kind of tend to have songs in them, you know, but Frozen actually felt to me like an actual Broadway style musical, which was kind of refreshing.
Yeah, it's nice that's back.
Yeah, would you like to work on an animated musical at some point?
Oh, for sure. That was my reason for getting into this business, and that would be a dream to do that.
Cool. Well, I wonder if you talk about this. Throughout your career, you've had a ton of success in both music and in animation. But I'm sure it hasn't all been success. I remember like reading that you wanted to be on Glee, maybe, you know, that was a like possibility, you know, entering contests. By the way, did you win that contest back in the day?
Oh yeah, no, I did not win that.
Okay, so there you go. So you've had a taste of both.
Oh, of course. And there's plenty of things, you know, that, you know, don't come to fruition, or you almost get and don't get, and things that people will never know about because they never actually, you know, they never happened.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like the ups and downs of it. You know, it's, you know, I'm speaking from the singing standpoint.
Right.
There's always something on the horizon that, you know, you almost get. So yeah, I've had lots of stuff, you know, it's,
Could you talk about a specific moment that you're really hoping for and maybe didn't come the way you wanted?
Yeah. One story that I talk about is when YouTube first hit, I was brought out to LA to meet with the CEO of Warner Brothers Records and David Foster and Diane Warren, who are producer and songwriters who've done pretty much everything ever. And that was terrifying because I'd never been to California. I'd never been to LA. The music thing was super new. And it didn't pan out. I didn't end up getting signed. It was, you know, well received, but, you know, I thought that was my big break.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the right time. I don't think it would have been the best thing for me at that minute. But when you're in the middle of that, it can feel a little devastating. Yeah. So that's an example of, you know, something that, you know, doesn't quite pan out, but
yeah. What do you feel like you learned anything from that?
Yeah, I think I learned a lot from, you know, because that was sort of pitching me as an artist, and I don't think I was, you know, fully formed or ready for that, because I hadn't really figured out what I would want to do with music, my own music from that standpoint.
Yeah.
I actually just a few months back released my first EP of my own music that I wrote on my own.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, getting, you know, that's sort of a way to sort of be like, this is what I am from a singer standpoint. So it's a little clearer for people. So I think that was kind of a takeaway, was just being a little bit more clear of, you know, what you want to do with it.
Yeah. And that EP that you mentioned is Stairwells. We'll definitely link to that. It's awesome. It's really, really
Thank
good.
You.
Congratulations. Okay. My final question, Nick, would just be, you are somebody who has really made your own way. You know, you've made a career for yourself that is unlike any other career. It's, you know, it's your own. You didn't probably have a very clear roadmap along the way of do this now, they do this. I'm just wondering, what advice would you have for somebody doing that? Like, that has a lot of passions, wants to make a career for themselves. What have you learned from that experience of kind of not having a roadmap, but still trying to make it?
Yeah, I think some of it is just sort of sticking with whatever you want, and also making sure that you're very clear on your intentions with it, and that you're doing it for the right reasons. Because I think sometimes, you know, if you're doing something and you don't quite have the right intention, it doesn't necessarily pan out, and then it also doesn't feel right for you. There are times where I've chosen, there have been a couple times where I've chosen a song to cover on YouTube, thinking, oh, this will be, you know, really, this will be something that'll get passed around, this will go viral. And you're kind of in that mindset of like, oh, I'm going to do something that will get a lot of exposure. And then you put it up and it doesn't get anything at all. There have been other times where I've been like, I just really want to do this, and I'm doing it because I love it. And I put it out not expecting anyone to watch it. And then that is what people latch onto. And I think at the root of it, even if it's subconscious, if it's something you actually love and really feel passionate about, I think that comes through in the final product.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the best way to do it, especially if it doesn't pan out, at least you did something you care about. And I think that's kind of my biggest takeaway, is make sure you're doing it because you want to do it and not because of the end result, because you don't know. That's the one thing you can't count on, but you can count on whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Well, Nick Patera, thank you so much for coming on the Pixar podcast. It was great to talk to you. Huge congratulations on Inside Out and just your career in general. Good luck with everything you continue to do.
Thank you so much. It's so great to meet you and talk with you. Thank you.
The sun is finally falling, I can feel it slowly slip away tonight. I'm gonna give the song I'm holding in a fighting chance once out of sight.
Well, that was my conversation with singer and Pixar artist Nick Patera. You can, of course, follow Nick on Twitter and YouTube, all the social media platforms. Links will be on the show notes for this episode, thepixarpodcast.com/118. I also want to point to a couple specific things here. You can become a patron of Nick's work by going to patreon.com/nickpatera. Patreon.com is a great way to support lots of artists. Nick also has a store where you can buy cool merch. So check out all those links and some videos that will be on the show notes for today's episode at thepixarpodcast.com/118. Also, don't forget to submit your entries for your own Islands of Personality and Core Memories. thepixarpodcast.com/blog is where you can do that. And if you feel so inclined, you can donate to the Pixar Podcast to help cover costs of the website and other expenses. I would sure appreciate it. That's thepixarpodcast.com/donate. So that's it from me this week. Please come back next week for some more behind-the-scenes stories from Pixar Animation Studios. I'm Derek Clements. See you later, folks.
Okay, Squirt here will now give you a rundown on proper exiting technique.
Mom, it's just a ball.
Don't let it happen again.
Yes, well, I'll try to be less careless.
It's got this kind of smoothie, melty. It's not really a smoky taste. It's a certain, it's kind of like a... It's kind of like this boom zap kind of taste. Don't you think? What would you call that flavor?
Lightning?
Don't look at the light!
I can't help it. It's so beautiful.
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Gone! It's all gone. Oh, it's gone. Bye-bye. Woo, see ya.
Thank you for listening to the Pixar Podcast.
Triple then gum
will make you smile.
Triple then gum,
it lasts a while.
Triple then gum
will help your mister to punch that breath right in the kisser.
Triple then gum!